missionaries are all out today. I'm sure we'll have a few as we serenade them in.
That's good to
know.
Oops. Sean, can we do a sound check?
Sean,
can we do a sound check?
Yes.
Cool. Balance. It's not quite balanced. Mary.
All right.
Not that many people.
Page 514 in the hymnal.
Okay,
yay!
Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those who refuse to sing, who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred streets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Woo!
Amen. Good singing.
That's good singing.
Better be careful. One of these days, Doug's going to react and smack you. I can just see the look on his face.
What am I doing wrong?
Blowing out his left ear, I think is what you're doing.
My cellar does that thing. I'm like
296 all the way my Savior leads me. 296 all the way my Savior leads me.
Don't mess with me.
He squinted like you were blowing his ear out. I'm just telling you, I know you'd want to know that you're causing pain with your screaming.
I'm just telling you,
if you don't mind Doug squinting in pain from the screaming in his ear, then just keep doing it. All I can do is tell you all, you guys are like little kids, you gotta get along. Yeah, that doesn't mean I want to hear you squeal.
I didn't hear you strategically sit elsewhere. I've done that before, but I probably was too loud.
We love each other, and I know if anybody's doing something that makes another person uncomfortable, this is the role the pastor plays, is he just lets you know. You know, I think, you know, like if Janice is putting on her stinky hand lotion and it starts making me sick, I'll have to tell her.
Is that what you're doing?
Because last time she put it on, about knocked me out.
Yeah, I gave him an episode.
See, I still love her, but you know, If any of you men smell like you took a bath in cologne or whatever, I just have to say, you know, take it easy on that stuff. You're going to kill me. That's nothing personal. Doesn't mean I don't like you. Yeah. This is for looks only. Brother Sean, what's going on? What's going on?
My tongue swelled up earlier this morning.
Well, Doug knows CPR, so mouth to mouth and all that. He knows it all.
The house gets too dry.
So long, Mark. Brother Sean donated this. Well, I want to make sure everybody's all right back there. Correct. Brother Sean donated this. Thankfully, I don't think it smells like him, but it's called Biden Be Gone.
The only use it was the stench hat.
It's room spray, but it's for looks only. Don't spray this stuff.
You know, they got rid of it. They should get rid of it. They must put odor eaters in his shoes.
Yeah. But so if you spray this stuff, I'd have to preach outside, so don't spray it. But it is
very funny. So does it have the ingredient, that perfect the ingredient truth in it?
No.
That's why it gets rid of it?
I didn't see that.
You didn't spray it. It's
no, it's just, it's got a little bit of an odor to it, but it's not bad. It might be Janice or smell.
Just make it feel so conscientious.
See? All right, let's sing page 296. I'll lecture you some more later. 296, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Beautiful song.
Yeah.
Here's one that we've discussed this before. It's not the way a lot of people have heard it, but it's the original hymn version. Oh, happy day.
I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong key.
Free of charge.
Free of charge.
All right, onliners, send your prayer requests to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Here in the house, if you want a prayer card, please raise your hand so Janie can give you one with a pencil. And remember to silence your cell phones. Camera people, we got our cameras all zoomed in and ready to go. We are making headway and getting all of our videos uploaded to Rumble because YouTube is run by capital communists who censor anything they don't like, which includes anything biblical. And most conservatives. So we're moving over to Rumble, and we had about 1,000 videos that we're moving over, thanks to the help of Jenny Allball and some help from my little Jenny. And I'm doing what I can when I can. And by the way, just want to remind you that every morning at
screen left.
Technology is wonderful.
You go to sleep.
You can go to Sermon Audio. On your phone, you go to your Play Store and you download the Sermon Audio app that's called Church One. And I think they have it here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it and look at it. Player, Church Finder, mobile app. Here it is. It's this Church One app is in your Play Store. Down that to your phone, then you sign up and you list this church, Bible Believers Fellowship of Worthington, Ohio, is out of listen, as your church. Then you'll get notifications every time we go live, every time we upload. And every morning we have a 5-minute devotional in the book of Proverbs. And we've been going not quite a year doing this, but we're up to almost a couple hundred that we've done. And we're in Proverbs 11. And then once in a while, I'll throw in a little special one, like on my mom's birthday and on our anniversary, I did a little special thing on there, you know. And, but I'm surprised how many people still say, oh, I didn't know you're doing that. And we've been trying to announce it every once in a while, but it's that simple. Get your day started in the Word of God. And, then if you don't make it to Sunday school, we upload the live stream later and you can catch that. You're missing a lot of good stuff in the book of Isaiah right now. And if you can watch that online, then on Wednesday, our Sunday messages go up as well. Both the live stream goes up for later viewing. We also upload an edited version of that. Then on Wednesday, we're closing out our study in James. And all of those are on Rumble and on Sermon Audio. So just to let you know, there's a lot of good stuff out there. And we do what we can to help you, and you have to take advantage of it. That's all up to you. So let's hold our questions and comments for our current events update. For the end. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, reminder. Islam continues its murderous attacks on Christians. Kind of lose sight of, there's so much really evil stuff going on. It's hard to keep up with it all. Yeah. And that's why we do these current events updates, because whatever research you do, whatever you do paying attention to what's going on around the world, we can help you with that. But if this is your only source, you're going to be way behind. Yeah. You have to pay attention 7 days a week. This happened last week. A Ugandan pastor was slain by Muslims in an anti-Christian attack in front of his daughter as they screamed, "You will face the wrath of Allah." Islamic extremists in an eastern Uganda district accused a 58-year-old Christian pastor of being an infidel who had harmed the religion of Allah for refusing to remove his church building. Wielding long knives and blunt objects, the men attacked the pastor in front of his daughter, who fled the scene to report the crime to police, according to reports. Three men dressed in Islamic attire killed Pastor Stephen Lugwire while he was in his animals grazing fields with his 23-year-old daughter, Brenda Lugwire, in the predominantly Muslim area on the morning of October 27th. Now, by contrast, nowhere on planet Earth are Christians killing people for being unbelievers. I just want to, every once in a while, remind you of the Orwellian bubble that Americans live in. And they only get their news from a bunch of globalist liars.
Amen.
And those globalist liars never tell you what's going on in the world. There's all this stuff going on all over the world, and what do they want to tell you about? Brittany.
Yeah.
COVID numbers.
They lie to you about the COVID information. The Kardashians, you know, all this stuff that nobody with any intelligence should care about.
Right.
I'm going to tell you this. I don't know what you watch. I want to be in this position so that I can simply tell you the truth. And if you're watching that crap and you get your feelings hurt, you know I'm not pointing at anybody in here because I don't know what you watch. But if you waste your time keeping up with the Hollywood crazies, you're wasting your time and you're going to be held accountable for being a bad steward.
Amen.
With the time that God has allotted to you on this earth. And there's times where people want to get away from things and just kind of, you know, let their minds rest and everything. That ain't going to do it. All that's going to do is fill your mind with more mud. You're going to have muck and mire instead of clearing your mind. If Christians were doing half what Islam is doing, there would be global hysteria.
Yeah.
I want you to understand what your news media would do if these were Christians doing these things. You would be hearing about it daily, all day, every day, about how evil Christianity is.
I think you're being too optimistic saying it only half. Probably if they were doing 10% of what they were doing.
Well, I think even this one example, if that were a Christian who had killed anyone else, it would be on the worldwide news all day, every day for who knows how long. But if they were doing what, you know, that's what I'm saying, in the real world, what Islam alone is doing to people. So you can bypass our useless globalist news media and go to a website called thereligionofpeace.com. It is all lowercase, thereligionofpeace.com. They just give you the actual news, the actual events of what's going on. I don't know for sure if he's behind this particular website or not. But if you go to that website, you will see some things that you'll note. Number on the right-hand side, a running list of all the news media, news stories, and most of those are within a day or two. That's a list of what's happening every day or two, not just one or two headlines. You'll see on this day a historical event. This day, November 21, 2019, in Sindh, Pakistan, a 10-year-old girl is stoned to death by her parents. That's Muslim law. You'll see the attacks that have been happening right under the orange attacks. The atrocity of the week is the first thing you'll see. In the Congo, a brutal massacre leaves 38 dead. And jokingly, facetiously saying, then is a list of other recent misunderstandings of Islam. As you point out what Islam is doing in the world, all these ignoramuses in some cases they're devils, lie and say, you just don't understand Islam. I understand Islam. I understand their leader, Muhammad, was a murderer. He had sex slaves. He would have these, what were called epileptic fits that I believe were devil possession fits, foaming at the mouth, and he would get visions about how he can have more women and how when they would defeat people, they could just completely annihilate them and take all the women and so forth. So, do I understand Islam? You look at the founder, you look at the Quran, you look at the Hadiths, and you look at the history, including what's happening right now in nations that are majority Muslim. And you'll get the information. And it is a religion of defeat the enemy, conquer, and forced conversion.
Yep.
Jesus Christ never forced anybody to convert. Jesus Christ preached that you must believe, which is something you do of your own will. Jesus Christ said if you reject what his offer of free salvation, then you would have to pay for your own sins. You sinned against a holy God. And if you reject the free gift of salvation, you're choosing to go to hell. But that's not coercion. That's the truth. That's the reality. So, moving on to number two. Despite the wickedness in this world, we have much to be thankful for. Amen?
Amen.
And this is the extremes that you're going to have to get used to in this life from here on out. That the reality is ugly. There's constant atrocities, terrible things going on. The tyrants are trying to take over and force you under their tyranny. And yet, we still are all the way over here saying, we still have a lot to be thankful for.
Amen. Yes.
They could throw us all in camps and we could starve to death or be gassed or whatever. And yet, we go into an eternity with Jesus Christ where they'll never touch us. They will go to hell. So that's what you have to keep in mind as you're dealing with these things. And otherwise, you'll get very frustrated or try to take matters into your own hands. And that could be dangerous. Sister Jenny, my little Jenny, will narrate the following. This is a little Thanksgiving reminder. We're how many days? 4 days? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yep.
From the holiday of Thanksgiving. But we remind you that the holiday is a great reminder to the rest of the world that we should be thankful every day. Amen?
Today, we are thankful. For a faithful God. A beautiful Savior. Gracious Redeemer. Today, we are grateful. For God's endless love. His saving mercy. And his passionate heart. Today we give thanks.
Amen.
Amen.
So happy Thanksgiving a few days early.
Thank you.
365. 365 days a year and an extra day in leap years. Amen.
Amen.
We have plenty to be thankful for. And so I tell you, these are the things that keep you sane. The reality. We talk about we want you to live in the real world. We want you to be aware of what's going on, but we never want you to lose sight of the reality. God is in control.
Amen.
And God's going to win.
Amen.
How many of you have heard it? I've read the back of the book and
we win.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. All right. Anybody like to say anything before we move on? Johnny?
Are you talking about the cathedral song there?
I've read the back of the book.
That's been done by a lot of people, so I don't know if they originally did.
Well, that was a pretty good one.
That's the same song, but a lot of people have done it. So
okay.
Cathedrals are the first one.
I
miss old George Yuntz, Glenn Payne. And,
yeah. Oh, yeah, they were.
They're with the Lord now.
Yep.
Yeah, Jenny?
I just want to thank the Lord. 4 years ago, I was told that I was not allowed to give my granddaughter more than 3 gifts by a certain person. I will not mention her name. And my son went along with it. And I was told I'd never see her again if I did that. I kind of laid on my heart, really hard. And at that time, I didn't call anybody. I should have. But I did finally afterwards, I called Martha, and I told her, I had a knife to my wrist that night, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, is my life really that terrible that I would do that, that I would take my own life? and never see Hannah again. But yet, it was like something came over me, and I put the knife down. I dropped it on the floor, and I looked down at that knife, and I'm like, you know, Lord, I'm better than that. And that night, it kind of put on my heart, you know, Lord, you know, I need you more than that knife. And I've always been thankful for that, because after I did that, I called Martha, and Martha laid on my heart a good lecture. She told me, you know, and between that laying on my heart and Martha, I'm grateful for Martha. Thank you that I'm still here.
Amen.
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 It's good to have a Christian family you can turn to and talk to. Amen. Mark?
Yeah, that song, Oh Happy Day, you were playing, sang a few minutes ago. I heard a different version of it, but very much a Christian song by the Edwin Hopkins Singers. It was cut as a single back in 1969, and it went to number one, if I remember correctly.
I thought he was going to mention the one, you know, Fonzie and all them. You know. Janice? That's exactly right.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm less suicidal and more homicidal. if it weren't for, I mean, some of you are with me. You know what I mean? You see that hand? I see that hand. Yeah. You know, when I see what's going on, my first thing is just start killing a bunch of people. And the Lord says, "The vengeance is mine," saith the Lord. And so I can't. And that's true about suicide too, though. There are certain things that don't belong to you, and one of them is to the power of life and death. You can defend yourself and that sort of thing, but when it comes to just plain out, you know, suicide is self-murder. You're murdering yourself. And so I've never given that much thought. Even when I've gotten down to my lowest, I just think, you know, well, that's for God to take my life, and I don't think much about it. But he's had to really, you know, tone me down sometimes. I'm watching TV, and I'm thinking, where's my gun? You know, and I tell people, I know it's not just me. I'm telling you, there's a lot of saved men today that might be doing some wild things right now if they thought this was the only life.
Yeah.
If this was all we had, you better believe I'd be killing people.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest with you. But this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
Amen.
And so. We know where we know, and that kingdom of God. At first, the first 1,000 years is going to rule with a rod of iron, a rod of righteousness, and He is going to make this world what it could have been all along for 1,000 years, even with sinners on the earth.
Amen.
Then at the end, He's going to give everybody one last free will choice, and there's going to be a big, one last battle, and He's going to wipe all those people out. They'll be cast in the lake of fire the way they chose. And then the rest of us will live with Him eternally without any of that stuff.
Wave off the idiots.
Dre?
Yeah, we do have a lot to be thankful for. And, you know, and I do have to, you kind of brought up self-defense and the whole Rittenhouse thing that took place. I don't know what that kid's status is as a saved Christian, but I sure hope that you know, he is saved. And,
Yeah. I almost mentioned the Rittenhouse verdict, but there's really not much to say. And even if you didn't like the kid or whatever, the law is the law. And the people say, well, he shouldn't have been out there. Well, they shouldn't have been out there burning things and destroying property and hurting people. Yeah. So don't tell me he didn't have a right to be out there when you're going to act like they did. You're allowed to peacefully protest. Once you are no longer peaceful, you get shot.
That's right. Amen.
And that's the message that if we had a real man in the White House right now would be telling this country as a result of that verdict. If you don't want shot, then peacefully protest. But once you stop being peaceful, we respond to violence with violence. Romans 13, 1 to 6, it's Bible and constitutional. And that message isn't getting out. But I think that decision with Rittenhouse said a lot to at least some people, that we do still have a little bit of constitutional right to self-defense in this country. And they keep trying to take it away. But yes, Johnny?
I know, because I was able to... I've been listening to the replacement show for Rush for a while now. Like, I guess that's my main source of news at the moment.
Who is that, Bongino?
No, it's Clay and Buck. They seem to be pretty good so far.
I'll have to check that out.
They commented on the Rittenhouse case, and I believe one of them either used to be or is a lawyer. And he said that, you know, if you're trying to take issue about, oh, he shouldn't have been out there, apparently under the law that shouldn't matter as far as what happened after. I mean, you know, we could say, yeah, you shouldn't have been out there, but you still have a right to defend yourself.
But it's wrong to say you shouldn't have been out there. It's just wrong.
The rioters should have been there.
Yes.
The police should have been there.
Yeah.
And when the police abandon that, this court case let people know, when the police won't do it, you are allowed to do it.
That's right. And let's just be honest, the truth is, when seconds matter, the police are only minutes away.
I know. Yeah.
You have to take care of yourself. You have to defend your home and your family.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Tracy?
Black people think he shot three black men.
That's right. It's the news media playing it as a race thing. And weren't two of the three whites?
I think all three of them were.
All three of them were? See, I only saw pictures of two.
Felons and one of them was
Yeah. Yeah, and you know you're being played when they're making it a race thing and it's a white dude shooting white people.
Yeah.
And listen, we say it all the time for the sake of anybody listening out there. I don't care what color those people are. If he had been wrong, I'd been supporting his conviction. I don't care what color he is. If he is right, he's right under the law. And if he's wrong, he's wrong. People, what happened to that? You're not supposed to judge a man by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character.
Yeah.
What happened? The liberals are destroying it.
What about that black kid that shot the teacher at school?
In
Texas. Shot three other people. They let him out the next day on a bond.
Yeah.
And they got off with a...
And they had a party for
him. Yeah.
And let's be clear, though, you know, when it comes to liberals, they don't care what color you are. They don't think you should pay for any crime. The liberals just want this world to go into lawlessness.
Unless you go against their agenda.
Yeah, unless you're against their agenda, then you need to fry. Yeah, they're ready to hang you before you even commit a crime. So, but I like how Louis Armstrong's put it. I said to myself, what a wicked world. Oh, yeah. That's my parody of that. All right. Well, we know, as I said, God is in control. And we're going to finish up our study in Luke 13 right now. So let's get into the Bible study with a word of prayer. And ask Brother Charlie, sitting down here with that beautiful little baby, if you go ahead and open Bible study prayer.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this this wonderful day that we have to gather together and to learn about you through your word. We thank you for your great mercy and your love toward us. We thank you for paying the price of our sins before we even knew you, and that you knew our hearts and you knew that we were wicked, but you still loved us and you still forgave us. And we thank you for shedding your blood to pay for our sins. We thank you for all the good things that we have, our health and the clothing that we can wear and the food that we can eat, and allowing us to live in this country, even though it is deteriorating. We thank you that we still have the measure of freedom that we do, and that we don't have to worry about people randomly coming into our church to kill us like all those Christians in Africa and around the world.
Yes.
So we do have to fear every day. We pray that you would protect the Christians who are gathering today to worship you and to remember what you have done for us. We pray that you would help us to have strength to stand for you no matter what comes our way. We pray that you would just bless our time here. And bless each one that has come and their families, and you know the needs on their hearts. Pray that you'd be with them. And I pray that you would help us to truly be thankful each day that you give us breath. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all you've done. that you bless us and keep us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen. All right. Luke 13 is where we're at. Verses 30. Did I have that right? No, I don't. How did that happen? I'm going to change it right now what I'm looking at. I had it right on
the previous one?
Previous one, didn't I? Yeah, hold on. Let's just fix that. All right. Now, we're in Luke 13. Verses 34 and 35. And every once in a while, I want to remind you, when you come to church, it's not, you're not, don't expect to hear a message that's going to change your life. When you got saved, that's when your life changed.
Amen.
Now, you're on a steady diet of God's Word. How many of you had such a good steak that it changed your life? Rick's making that claim. But I've had some really good steak, and man, it was great. But you know what will change your life is if you stop eating. So keep eating. And that's the way it is with God's Word. This is the meat and potatoes here. And now you listen to what I'm going to teach right now. And then when you go home, you read your Bible and have your personal relationship with the Lord one-on-one.
Amen.
Every day. I can't be there and don't want to be there in your life every day. We'd get sick of each other. But God never gets sick of you, and you'd never get sick of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we're closing out, as I said, our study in Luke 13, verses 34, 35. And it's going to include a prophecy by Jesus. And Jesus was a prophet, a priest, and a king.
Amen.
We talked a little bit about the priesthood this morning. And right now we're going to see Jesus, the prophet. So let's read those two verses in Luke 13, 34 and 35. If you're there, read it with me. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen? So verse 34 starts there with that, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. And we discussed that in our previous study. But we start there because it sets the context for verse 35, which is the prophecy we're going to look at in a few minutes. But the context is geographical location, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a city on a map, and you can jump on a plane and fly over there, but we don't have time for that this morning. So I'm going to show you just a couple of snapshots of Jerusalem in case some of you aren't familiar with what the city looks like. That's a beautiful sunset view of the city at you can see the walls of the old city and everything there. It's beautiful. There's another closer view. That big gold thing right there is the Muslim Dome of the Rock.
Yeah.
And it's where it's believed that the original temple sat, although some differ. We'll find out the answer to that when Jesus returns. But that's
Craig, in the... You called that a temple.
So there's a nighttime view with the moon in the background. How, has anybody here been to Jerusalem? Okay, the only person in our local church that had been there that we knew of was Mike Kaler.
Yeah,
years ago.
I heard a story about it once, about going there once.
But well, I think we've all heard those. But this is in it's called outside the camp of the old Jerusalem, which says. But if you go to Jerusalem, you definitely want to visit this place. It's called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And up where that wall is right now would be where Jesus would have been crucified.
Wow.
And they call it the place of the skull because it just looks like some skulls, you know, laying there. Then there's this garden tomb. It's empty. And they've done tests, actually, and said that there's no evidence of any body ever decaying in that tomb. So Jesus laid there, and the Bible prophesied he would not let his Holy One see corruption. And then after that, it's been known since then that that was the tomb of Jesus, and they didn't allow anybody else to be buried there. And God has preserved that over the years. So that's some little photographical background there on the city of Jerusalem. Now, some fast facts on Jerusalem. Number one, in your Bible, Jerusalem is named 767 times by that name in the Bible. Now, you have Islam and others trying to lay claim to parts of Jerusalem and everything, but as far as I know, I don't believe Jerusalem's even in the Quran. You have to look that up. I think I remember that. But it's the most named city in the Bible, and it's named three times more often than the next most mentioned city, which is its complete counterfeit, and that's Babylon. So the top two in the Bible are Jerusalem and Babylon, and Jerusalem is mentioned three times more often than Babylon. 260 times for Babylon. Now, if you're in Jerusalem, you used to have to travel by camel in the day we're reading here. And today, in a car on a paved interstate, it takes you basically 15 hours driving. I don't know what that translates when it comes to traveling by camel, but I'm sure it was, someone said it was several weeks to travel that. And, of course, you remember the story of the wise men at Christmas time. That's how they traveled from Babylon to Jerusalem. And so we don't know exactly how long that took because they had quite a party going on there. It would have been a large number of people and a lot of stuff they brought with them. So it could probably started sometime in the summer to get there. If you jump on a plane from Jerusalem to Babylon, it's a 7-hour 40 minutes, so we'll say 8 hours flight just to get there. So the second point is that Jerusalem, as you're reading your Bible, yeah, you'll see that it is originally called Salem. Some of you thought that was cigarettes. Others of you think of witches. But Salem originally, the original use of the word was Jerusalem. And you go to Genesis 14:18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. It was in what is now Jerusalem, Melchizedek. Then number three, Jerusalem for a time was called Jebus. And God knows most of us are a little slow anyway, so he makes it real easy on us. He tells us right in the text, Judges 19:10, that a man, men being referred to there, came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. So there's no guesswork there. And that was because the Jebusites took control of the city for a while, and they called it Jebus, kind of like Jebus City, like Mexico City and Mexico, that sort of thing. And fourth, I just want to mention this, that Jerusalem, when you're reading Old Testament prophecy, you'll see that when Jerusalem is being condemned by God, then it's called Ariel, A-R-I-E-L. Now, that'll be very helpful to you if you make note of that when you're reading through your Old Testament. A lot of times the reason why people get spinning their wheels and get bored and give up on the Bible is because it's so unfamiliar. And if you take notes of these things, go to Isaiah 29:1 and next to Ariel, write Jerusalem. And woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. And anytime you see that, you'll know what it's talking about. Now, there is there's a couple of references to a man named Ariel. So pay attention to the context. But those are just some tidbits there, the little nuggets that will help you as you read your Bible daily. The importance of the city of Jerusalem cannot be overstated. I'm not talking about today's politics, although that's really in a large way connected with its place in the Bible. The reason why Jerusalem is so important in political and what they call foreign policy matters and that sort of thing. But nor can its importance to and its relation to Jesus be overstated. Jerusalem and Jesus are interconnected. They are like this. You can't separate them. As a matter of fact, there is too much for us to cover in one study. So if I were to try to tell you every tidbit of connection between Jesus and Jerusalem, we'd have to order pizza and hand it out while you're listening, and then maybe even dinner. So Scripture was Scripture. Understanding that Jesus is the King of Kings. How many of you have heard that before? Jesus is King, capital K, of Kings, small k. Why? Because under God, all kings are small k.
Amen.
And Jesus is the King of all kings. And that's in a general sense now, but there's coming a day where he will rule as King over all the kings of the earth. Let's look over at Psalm 48 real quick. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. And again, as you keep these things in mind, it'll make the Psalms, will, as I think they say, pop. You'll read them and you'll get it. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 48, 1 and 2. Read that if you're with me. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, a whole mouthful there, a lot you can't get into, but look at those last few words there. The city of the great king. Is that word, is that king there in your Bible? Is the word capitalized?
Yep.
Yeah, you know why? It's talking about Jesus.
Amen.
The king. The city of the great king. So Jerusalem is the city of the great king. You keep that in mind, even when it comes to politics today. Keep that in mind, that Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Has there been a time where Jesus has sat on a throne in Jerusalem and ruled?
No.
Not yet. The Bible will come true, folks. Forget what any teachers told you. Forget what anybody in a seminary might have told you. Believe the Bible. Jesus is going to rule in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on a throne as king. Doug?
That's another great verse and a great song to shed or praise thing right there.
Yeah.
You going to tell us what you're talking about? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, those verses that you just read.
Yeah, it's a song.
It's a song.
They put it to
music. Oh. Great. I thought Doug was going to sing for us.
No. Yeah. You don't want that. Though.
Hey, John did already, so we're on
the
road.
They will run out the door.
Yeah. I think, you know what? Hey, people who think they can't sing. Have you ever heard some of these guys?
Yeah.
John sang this morning. I tell you, you put a ponytail on him and a headband, and he'd sing a little through his nose a little more. It'd sound like Willie Nelson.
Amen.
Hey, Willie's big. Willie's big time, man.
Like him.
Over to Matthew. This is what Jesus said about Jerusalem being the city of the great king. Matthew 5, 34 and 35. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Remember this from Wednesday night, if you're with us in our James study. Nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king.
Amen.
So you see that Old and New Testament confirmed to be the city of the great king. Capitalized again because it's referring to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, think of Jerusalem as the city of Jesus. Again, there's many things we can't point out, but you know, there's a psalm that says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And it says the Lord will bless you if you do. Why? It's his city. And he's in control. He's going to work it out. I mean, there have been people for my entire lifetime wringing their hands trying to figure out what they're going to do about Jerusalem. The prophet said that it's going to be a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling, as it refers to Jesus. Well, it says that Jerusalem, the city of the great king, will be a cup of trembling. Who's trembling? Not God. Man is trembling. God's got it all figured out. And there will one day be a new heaven and a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And it's going to happen, folks. We say this all the time. I feel so sorry for people who'd have no hope for the future. If you think that Darwin nailed it and we're all just glorified amoeba, and after this life, you just, they're like a dog that gets buried and turned to dust, and we have no eternal future and everything. What a pathetic existence we all are. Yep. I mean, what a waste of time. What makes life worth living is what is still lying ahead. I mean, all the disease and all the death and all the illness and all the trial and the tribulation and the fighting and the divorce and the hatred and on it goes. Everything you're seeing that the news media loves to make money off everybody on reporting all the time. All that. And if that's all there is to this life, forget it. That's why the suicide rate's going through the roof, folks. Janie and Janice and others who have had those issues in their lives will tell you, what was it? It was the reality of God in their life that kept them from committing suicide. So why is the suicide rate going up? It just so happens that the number of God-rejecting people in this world is going up. As people put off God and larger numbers reject God, you're going to see everything, suicide and homicide, drugs and drug overdoses. Everything's going to go through the roof. Turn to Revelation 21. I just want to show you whenever I'm feeling down, this is where I go. One of the places, but one of the main places. When I first moved to Columbus 30 years ago, I left for a little while and came back. I didn't know any better. And when I first moved up here, a couple of you got that. But when I first moved up here, one of the hardest things about it was I get homesick. And so I'd call my mom, dad, or call somebody down, you know, my grandma or whoever. I'd talk to somebody down home, you know, and they'd give me a little bit of encouragement. And I could drive down there in a couple hours and visit, you know, so it wasn't too bad. And I still, you know, love those folks and I love seeing them and everything. But my homesickness has kind of turned upward. I now find myself homesick for heaven. Amen. I find myself a lot of times just looking at this world and thinking, Lord, come quickly. We're ready to go. I'm ready for the home you have prepared. Look there in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. It starts out by saying, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Read verse 2 with me. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So you see the news, and you see them fighting over Jerusalem. You see the city divided into quadrants, and you see that they're still not satisfied, and they're going to end up going to war over this. There's coming a day where that old Jerusalem is going to pass away and there's going to be a new Jerusalem. And verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men. What's the next two words? And he. He being the tabernacle of God. Amen. He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, whose? The tabernacles. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And it's only then that verse 4 is true. Read it with me. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. This life, got some good news for you. It's a veil of tears. Yeah. This life has its trials. All of us are getting old. All of us are starting to fall apart.
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, some of you youngins around here are already hearing you groan and ache and everything. Oh, boy. And I'm like, give it 20 years. Second law of thermodynamics says everything's running down. That includes you. Yep. Everything on the earth, including the earth, is included in that statement. Everything in the universe is included in that statement. Only God himself is pure energy, not subject to the second law of thermodynamics. But he has the ability to make you into that state where you will no longer run down. And God alone will give you that body that won't ache every time you move. I should correct myself. Mine aches when I don't move. How many of you get out of your chair just because it's like, you know, this is starting to hurt? I don't need an alarm clock anymore. I'm up at least by 8 a.m. because I have to get up from the pain. I'll even turn around this and that. And I'm like, oh, give up. And I get up. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The rest of you are going to get there if the Lord tarries and leads you here. What's going to happen then? Verse 4, read that. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Get that. Read that over and over until you get it. That's real life. It's not just checking out and saying, oh, I'm going to believe in some, you know, pie in the sky thing, and I don't think about real life and everything. Nope. That's not the message anyway. We're not even told to do that. You're not told not to think about real life. You're not told not to deal with pain. You need to be there for other people who are going through pain and illness and death. We need to be there for each other. We have to face these things. We have to deal with them. But back here, somewhere back in here, what keeps you going is the knowledge that this is all temporary. And the great king has a city. And it's for real. We were talking about, John started talking about when he came in this morning about the virtual reality thing that is now the big thing, and everybody's trying to create a virtual reality where they live their lives out in a computer system and everything. And everybody's going to be walking around with goggles on, I guess, or whatever. I don't know. It's good, this strange stuff. They can try all they want. They will never get by or be able to bypass the fact that behind the goggles is still a corpse. You can make that virtual reality as good and sweet as you want, or you think it is. And you still have to deal with the fact God has put you in this body. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So the important thing is to have that fact settled in your heart and mind. I know where I'm going to spend eternity.
Amen.
And you want to spend it with the great king. Amen?
Amen.
One day Jerusalem will be our home. Ours being those who have gone to the cross. Those who have looked at Jesus Christ on the cross and said, I trust in the payment you paid on that cross for my sin. I understand I can't pay for my own sin. You paid the price. I empty-handed turned to you in faith, believing in that payment that you paid. And the fact that when they took your body off the cross, put that body in a tomb, after 3 days you rose again.
Yeah.
I believe you conquered sin and death. You Amen. Conquered the grave. You have the power of life and death. And you have said, if any man believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I believe that. Amen? You believe that?
Amen.
Then you've got a home waiting on you, and Jesus will be the tabernacle. There won't be a need for church buildings. Won't be a need for a tabernacle. Jesus will dwell among men. But back to the reality. In Jerusalem in the time of Christ, devastation. That's going back to the day of Christ. That's why he prophesied. Go back to Luke 13 again, verse 35. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. He's speaking as it's already done, even though it hadn't happened yet. Why? Because we talked about last week, God lives outside of time. Jesus speaking as God, prophesying, he stands outside of time and looks at things as though it's a done deal. Your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until. So he's prophesying. And in order to understand this prophecy, you have to understand his coming death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. That he was going to go away for a while. The house that he's speaking of is representing the temple in Jerusalem. Your house is left unto you desolate. The phrase, the house of the Lord, if you go look it up in the Old Testament, it's referred to 200 times. The house of the Lord is the temple. 200 times, that settles it. Amen?
Amen?
So the house that he's speaking of was destroyed by Rome in 70 AD. Titus, the Roman general, brought the armies down on it and just leveled it. And, after there was a siege and it got really ugly and they resorted to cannibalism and all that, we won't get into. But then eventually the result was that the house, the temple, that's why we showed you those pictures. The Dome of the Rock is sitting on what was just flat when they got there because the temple had been destroyed. So then verse 35 continues with the prophecy, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's actually referring to the second coming, knowing that he was going to be rejected in his first coming. He set the stage for it in his first coming. But God, knowing what was going to happen, had already prophesied about it. We call it the triumphal entry. Every year around Easter time, people discuss that and bring it up. But it was a preview for the final entry of Jesus as the conquering king. The original, the first triumphal entry we see in the scripture, J.C. Ryle is a great Anglican who wrote this. He said, quote, the triumphant entry into Jerusalem was a faint type. Types and shadows we've talked about.
Yeah.
No doubt of the honor which Christ will one day see in Jerusalem. But the Jewish nation as a nation never saw our Lord and honored him as the Messiah during the whole period of his first advent. See, when that prophecy is fulfilled, he will be not just cheered on by admirers, but they will be recognizing him as the Messiah of Israel. We can read about it just a couple pages over in your Bible from Luke. Go to John 12. John 12, 12 through 16. I'll begin reading while you're turning there. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm, it's around the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, by the way. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon. And then verse 14 says, as it is written. When you see that, you're seeing Jesus is referring to the Old Testament. And he's telling you, this is a prophecy that I am now fulfilling. Read verse 15. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. Now look what it says in verse 16 then. These things understood not his disciples. That's why it's so important for you to be a Bible student and understand these things. Those who don't understand fail to recognize and they fall. These things understood not his disciples at the first. That's why they all fled when they arrested him. And Peter denied him. They didn't understand. But when Jesus was glorified, right before the 40 days before he ascended, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. So it's clear John's telling us this was a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. It was prophesied by the prophet Zechariah. If you go back to Zechariah 9:9, he prophesied, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Sound familiar? We just read it. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king, capital K, cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And so that's what we see here, but we don't see the full fulfillment of that because he was being rejected. There's coming a day. There is coming a day when Jesus returns and rides into the city. This time they'll look upon him whom they pierced and they will recognize him as Messiah, as Lord and Savior. All Israel will be saved and that will usher in the millennial kingdom. It's all there. J. Vernon McGee said it that way. The next time will be the real triumphal entry. Johnny?
I just wanted to confirm there. So verse 35 of Luke there, so that the fact that he said, you shall not see me, so that part of the prophecy was talking about the triumphal entry, right?
It's referring to the recognition of him as Messiah.
Because that's what they said when he came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Rick?
On a humorous note, I'm sitting here thinking of Shrek, that donkey was turned into a mighty steed, that Jesus came in on the donkey, he'll be coming on a white horse.
Yeah. 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 So, as a final word, the musicians come forward, we're going to sing. Jesus and Jerusalem. A lot of times you don't think of that, but Jesus and Jerusalem connect us with our eternal destiny. If you want to live in the real world, if you want to understand the reality of faith in Jesus Christ, if you want to know your future, I can't tell you what's going to happen next week and how things are going to pan out at work or your relationships and all that kind of thing. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I can tell you that we have a shared destiny. Was it FDR said we have a rendezvous with destiny? Well, as a nation, that was true at that moment. But as a church, as the body of Christ, all of us have a rendezvous with destiny.
Amen.
And it's all taken care of by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus paid the full price for your sin. Jesus won the victory over sin and death. Jesus ascended to heaven and said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, the only problem anybody has is belief. It's all there to read and see what Jesus has promised. The question is, do you believe? If you have some kind of real obstacle to your belief, something that bugs you, something that keeps you from really embracing it, pray as the man did when he said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Our education system, our culture, and just our friendships and relationships, the things we hear, plant seeds of doubt in your mind all the time. That's why you have to be wise and limit what you put in your head and control what you put in your head. Control what you read and what you listen to so that you can see clearly without all the fuzziness. And God will build your faith if you're in His Word, because the Bible itself says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Before we sing, I want you to bow your heads, just so there's no distractions or anything. I just want to give you a moment with the Lord as a result of this study. Maybe you know that your eyes have not been on Christ. Your eyes have not been on the end game. You've been caught up in this world. You've been caught up in the trials and troubles of life, or just the spectacle of life, the good times and having fun and all that, the hobbies and everything, and you just put God off. You've made someone else your God. Maybe it's just you. You've made yourself your own little God. And right now, take a moment. The Bible says if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. No sin too big. The only sin God will not forgive beyond unbelief is the sin that you will not confess. Take a moment. All right, we're going to sing page 402 because what I just said is summed up in this song. Faith is the victory. Take your hymn books, page 402, and if you're able to stand, please do. And as you sing, please pay attention to what you're singing. Don't just mumble the words, mean this, receive the truth of this song that's based on the scriptural truth. Faith is the victory.
And camped along the hills of mighty Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be heard.
See you here, there, or in the air.
God bless you.